How many of you grew up with siblings? Good number of you. Okay. I don't know if your experience was like mine. I imagine it had some similarity, but I had all these sort of silly standoffs with my sister, right? Go on a vacation in the car, and there's this imaginary line drawn down the back seat that nobody's to cross. Is she on Zoom? Good morning, sister. Now I have to be honest. I was anyways. But we'd vie for time in the bathroom, try to beat each other in there because she took way too long, by the way. We'd angle to make sure the other one had to do the chores we didn't want to do. And as the little brother in our family, I felt it was sort of my obligation to poke, to prod, to annoy my older sister and try to elicit some sort of response, some sort of reaction out of her. I do things that were really obnoxious, like copying her words. Do you remember that as kids? And I'd be like, don't say what I'm saying. Don't do what I'm saying. It's annoying. I do things like that. If the imaginary line was in the back seat, I'd, you know, put my hand just across it just to tick her off. I'd pick up stuff of hers because she told me not to. I'd change the channel on the TV from what she wanted to watch, change the music on the radio. I'd eat leftovers in the fridge that were hers that my family would say, I still do that one. I do all this to get her to react, right? Because little brothers can be pretty good at being annoying. I was excellent at it. And I can still hear my mom. It is Mother's Day after all. And so here's sort of this, again, moment of recognition for the torment moms that we put you through. But I can hear my mom with this exasperated voice saying, Aaron, stop provoking your sister. And just to make it fair, she'd also say, Annie, stop provoking your brother, even though I was the one doing the provoking. Anyone else grow up like that? Am I like the worst child in here? A few of you are with me a little bit. Yeah. Well, I want to do just the opposite this morning. And my goal in our time in Hebrews 10 is to convince you that I'd actually like you to provoke each other a whole lot more. I'll give you a little background. For those of you who haven't been with us, by the way, Harlins, it's great to have you back. Wish you would have brought the 90-degree weather, but that's okay. We're still glad you're here. If you haven't been with us, we've been in Hebrews chapter 10 these last couple weeks, specifically in verses 22 through 25. And so I want to read this passage for us as a beginning point again this morning. And once more, this is Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So 2 weeks ago, we noted that the commands in this passage are dependent on that first phrase, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. We considered this picture of the temple and the reality that in Judaism, you could only draw physically so close to God. If you remember, there was a curtain separating the most holy place from the Holy of Holies in this massive, roughly 15-story high temple building. And around that were various courts, and depending on who you were, what your sex was, where you came from, you could only draw so far in those courts. And we're reminded that when Jesus died, Matthew 27 tells us that that curtain that separated that most holy place from the Holy of Holies was torn in two. And the writers of Hebrew picks up on this imagery. If you notice in verse 19, he writes, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. It is reminding us we now have this access to draw near to God that we didn't previously. And so this is the fundamental call throughout this passage, which, by the way, is written primarily in the plural sense, not just as individuals. It's that we are to draw near to God. There's a together to that. Last week we considered, moving on from there, how we go about holding on unswervingly to the hope we profess. We considered how we prepare ourselves, how we strengthen our hope with our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength, what it looks like to talk and walk and teach and recite, and consider God as we lie down and as we rise, binding God's word to ourselves. Hopefully you remember that if you were here. I asked how you're strengthening your whole person to better unswervingly hold to that hope you profess. And I, just as a pause this morning, want to share a couple of resources that might be helpful to that end. If you're a book person, a couple of really great resources. One is by Sky Gittani. Some of you have gone through this. It's called With. Really great, just unpacking what it looks like to walk with God in life. Some of us went through some of the Good and Beautiful series. There's the Good and Beautiful God, the Good and Beautiful Life, Good and Beautiful Community. What I love about these is each chapter actually introduces you to some sort of discipline to practice, starting with just being silent. Richard Foster's Celebration of Discipline. If you're looking for ways to strengthen your faith and practices, this is an excellent read. And I saved Dallas Willard for last because, frankly, he's not the easiest person in the world to read, but amazing author. Dallas Willard wrote The Spirit of the Disciplines, Understanding How God Changes Lives. By the way, these are all listed on our website now. There's a little tab on the menu that says resources, and we're starting to share some of these things up here so you can find those. But encourage you, building from last week, to really put effort and energy into considering how do we proactively strengthen our walk with God and maintain our ability to hold unswervingly. But this morning we want to consider how to provoke each other. I took that phrase from the old King James because in verse 24 it reads, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto how to provoke unto love and good works." I love that. The NIV says, "Spur one another on towards love and good deeds." The ESV says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another." New Living, I believe, says, "Think of ways to encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds." So we want to provoke one another, spur one another on, stir each other up, and encourage outbursts. Great on Mother's Day, right? Sounds like fun. I want to take a moment to think about primarily what do we do for one another when we come together? What is our mindset? What is our expectation when we gather? Whether that's Sunday morning, whether that's in a small group Bible study, when we come together, what are we expecting to take place and what are we coming prepared for? I think quite often we come to be encouraged. Hopefully you are. We come for this idea of fellowship that we share life together, right? We come oftentimes to celebrate. That's part of what we do when we sing. Some of us come just hoping for some help, some support. Some of us come prepared to teach or to lead music or provide food or welcome people. But I'm not sure in our Western church culture if we've really taken seriously this idea of being ready to provoke each other to love and good deeds. Just out of curiosity, did anyone come this morning planning to provoke somebody in a positive way? Right? It's not even a term we really use that much because it's always negative. But again, as the King James says, let us consider how to provoke one another unto love and to good works. NIV, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I want to note just a couple things happening within this passage about spurring or provoking or stirring up. There's two parts really here. First, included under this is this idea of not giving up meeting together, which we're going to unpack a bit next week, what that does and doesn't mean. And then secondly, encouraging one another and to do so even more as we consider this day approaching. And the day is the return of Christ. There's an obvious piece here that I'll just mention that in order to provoke, to stir up, it requires proximity to one another. I think we feel this a little differently after a couple of years of a pandemic. I think some of us, those of us who follow Jesus, who know of his love firsthand, sometimes we need to refocus on why we come together, what our part is in that. And again, I think in this moment in time, this is an understandable thing that probably all of us need to refresh on a bit because life got upended. We weren't coming together, and then we were just happy we were coming together, just excited to see each other's faces. We come together often, again, with our focus to be encouraged. But do we come rather to ready to serve and to encourage others as well? By the way, a little secret, serving, encouraging others is often how you end up being encouraged yourself, right? When you see something meaningful happen as God works through you, that's often where we get encouraged. There's something to this as well about recognizing that our time is limited, that Jesus is returning, that we live with expectation, and that's to motivate us and empower us to provoke one another, to serve one another. It's interesting, this idea of serving one another in fairly significant ways, some rather difficult and requiring a lot of effort, is all through the New Testament. For example, Philippians 2, Paul writes, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interests of others." If I'm honest, I think oftentimes that's not our mindset when we come on Sunday morning. We're thinking about what we're hoping to gather and receive. Come looking to care for the interests of others. In Galatians 5, we read, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." This idea of serving one another is all through the Scriptures, right? Peter, for example, writes in 1 Peter chapter 4 that each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And one of my favorite passages, when Paul writes to the church in Rome this rather practical question of what does it look like to worship now that we follow Jesus and we don't leave like food and money at these various temples for these different gods. How do we worship? And in Romans 12, he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice." This is what it looks now. "Holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship." But we're to offer our bodies, right? Well, the next question would be, what does that look like? What does that mean? Well, in part, Paul says that's refusing to conform to this world and turning away from sin. But he continues in the same thought. And if you'll notice in verse 3 of Romans 12, this is how he unpacks this. He says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." And then he starts giving some examples of these. He says, "If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then encourage. Give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do this cheerfully." So Paul's saying that through God's grace and by his Spirit, he's given all of us these abilities and these gifts. And we see these themes through the New Testament, that we value others, we look to one another's interests before our own, we serve one another out of the freedom we have in Christ, and we use whatever gifts God's given us to serve one another. That's this idea of offering our bodies that Paul's speaking of, that we use what God has provided within ourselves to serve one another. And this is central to how we provoke one another, how we stir one another up, how we spur one another on. It's when we serve one another in a loving response to how God has loved us. And there's a second part to this as well in encouraging one another. In fact, we're told when we come together, we should do things like sing psalms and essentially recite scripture to one another. And the idea here is that we're sharing what God is doing in and through us and what we're learning. And we challenge and we encourage one another to love and to do good by our own example sometimes. And this idea of encouragement, I think there's power in these provocative words when you go out on a limb and you walk up to somebody and you say, "I see God doing this in your life. And I think maybe God has things in your future. Part of why I'm a pastor is because somebody came along in my life and said, Aaron, I see these abilities in you, and I think you should pursue them. That's provoking somebody. Asking the question, have you ever considered what God might do with that? That was literally a life-changing interaction for me. I'd love for us to do more of that, especially with our young people. Part of why I'm here is because somebody provoked me with affirming words, with observation of what they saw God doing in me. I got spurred on, provoked. And I feel this when I hear of you sharing your faith. Every time I hear a story of somebody sharing their faith or serving their neighbor in a unique way, that encourages me and gives me creative ideas and spurs me on. Maybe I could do that too. We do this for one another when we share those stories. That's some of where our creativity comes. It's not our own ideas. It's we saw somebody else do that. That's a good idea. Maybe I'll do that too. We're encouraged to reach out. And so we're dependent, again, upon drawing near to God first and foremost. And this is actually one of the outcomes of that. When we draw near to God, we then provoke one another to action, to response. And so I want to encourage you this morning, a couple practical things. One is simply, if you aren't already, to find a way to serve regularly in our church family. Maybe goals once a month, and there are numerous ways that can happen. But beyond that, how to serve each other, not just in an hour and a half on Sunday morning, but how can we provoke one another? How has God gifted us in ways that he might work through us to uplift one another, that all of us are more faithfully sharing the gospel and living in God's love? Again, post-pandemic, we hit like a full restart, right? It was varying degrees of people being comfortable coming together, and then the idea of volunteering and things like that, I understand, was intimidating for some. Maybe it still is. But it's when we serve one another that the church works, and it's when we serve one another here that then we can carry that out and serve outside of here as well. And so I just want to put this question before you, which is, how has God gifted you? How has God gifted you? And if you have no idea this morning, that's okay. But this is a question for each of us to pursue. How has God gifted me? We get some ideas of spiritual gifts from Scripture. Some of those are leadership, encouraging and helping others to build the kingdom of God. One of those gifts is administration, not my gift. Anyone who knows me knows that details are not my sweet spot. But it can also be helping with long-term goals, keeping people on task. Reed does that for me quite well sometimes. Teaching, which can take all sorts of forms. It can be on a stage. It can be over coffee. It can be one-on-one with a younger person, but instructing people to help them understand God's word. There's a gift called knowledge. I think this has to do with discipleship. It's our ability to learn and to know and then in turn explain God's word. I think oftentimes these are those people that can take complex things and make them simple. There's a gift of wisdom, which is the ability to discern what the Holy Spirit's doing. There's this gift of prophecy, which largely is to be able to proclaim God's word with boldness. A word we don't use very often is exhortation. This is about motivating people. In fact, that word exhort is also translated encourage. Come on, you can do it. Pick up. Let's keep going. There's shepherding, which is watching out for the welfare of others. There's a gift of faith, which is just, I think faith is one of those things. We all need those people who believe God's going to pull us through those hard moments, that this really can happen, even though it looks like it might crash and burn. These are people who are encouragers. There's a gift of evangelism. There's some people that just have a unique knack to effectively share the gospel. We're all called to that, but some have a unique gift there. There's a gift of mercy. These are those people that just tend towards compassion, have a listening ear, and respond with love. There's giving. I think that's pretty self-explanatory, but people who have this gift, I think, just are drawn with joy to be generous. There's a gift of hospitality. We make people feel welcomed and appreciated and wanted. And there's this other gift just called service or helps. But I think of all of them, this is probably the most universal. That all of us have some practical ability, some skill, some expertise, some experience that we can use to encourage one another. That might be fixing a lawnmower. That might be being really good at math. That might be when Lisi cooks really good treats on Sunday mornings, and I look forward to that, right? Like we have different abilities that we can serve one another with. I don't possess all of these. If the church is dependent on me doing all of these, we're going to be a bummer. Again, I'm clinically diagnosed with ADHD. Administration and details are not my skill set. One of the things that excited me when we came to North Park 11 years ago now was there was a number of people who were really gifted with administration in this congregation. It's like, okay, this could work, right? I'm serious on that. But each of us have our own gifts, and the idea of the body of Christ, that is the church, is that the way it operates is that all of us are participating. All of us are participating. Again, you don't possess all of these, and you need help in some of these areas. You need your brothers and sisters to spur you on, to help you out, to pick you up. For some of us, asking for that help is harder than for others. But again, how has God gifted you? And I would say if you have no clarity in how to answer that question, a couple of really good places to start. Ask somebody who knows you. What do you see that God has gifted me with in my life? Often it's the people around us who can see more clearly than we can. If you aren't sure how you might serve, Terry and Jim and Stead and Reed and myself, our elder team would love to buy a cup of coffee and sit down and just discern that together. How has God gifted you? What might God be calling you to? If you have an idea, we have ministry team leaders, Jody, Judy, Rick, Terry, Reed, Joshua and Sarah help lead with worship. There are numerous people to just come and say, hey, I think I could help out in this way. What would be beneficial? This isn't about making a program run. I want to be really clear about that. But I think it should be said, and all of us need to hear this sometimes, that we aren't called to be spectators in the church. We aren't called to just show up and receive. There is a part of that. But I think we actually miss out on what God has for us and what we could receive when we aren't actively serving one another. And some of that happens in the confines of the church building. Some of it happens out in the world. I know Terry and Gary are getting ready to move. There's going to be a need for people to help them move, right? Like there's those practical pieces in life where we can step in. There's times where people need finances and other people who are generous step in and help. That's when the body of Christ shines, is when we're doing that together. And so I do want to just call you to a couple specific things this morning, if I can. The first is, if this is your home, I would really challenge you to find a way at least once a month to serve. Whether that's on Sunday morning, whether that's in a different way, to participate in the life of North Park in an active way to serve. There are, you know, some ways that are more obvious than others, some needs that feel more pressing than others. But I have no doubt that there's plenty of giftedness in this room for this church to just hum along and be super effective. And underneath that, again, is maybe even a deeper piece of when you come on Sunday morning, when you're pulling in the parking lot, to maybe remind yourself, I'm here to serve. Even if I don't have a specific task today, how can I serve my brothers and sisters this morning as I'm here? God, what would you like to do through me to spur on, to provoke my brothers and sisters to keep walking with you, to keep walking in obedience? How can I use my gifts to serve my family of faith? I want to be provoked. I want to be prodded. I need to sometimes. So do you. Sometimes somebody needs to spur me on a bit. You need that too. In fact, we all do. And the thing that's so beautiful in this is that when we're doing this well, there's a sense of life that it's hard to put a finger on what is that thing going on, but it's the joy that's coming from getting to serve one another and being served. And so coming out of the last couple of years, I just want to put that vision in front of you that you would ask, how am I actively participating in the life of my church? And what would it look like to, in some official capacity or unofficial capacity, intentionally serve at least once a month to care for the needs of the people here with me? As you go to one of those homes, as you think about emailing somebody or somebody comes to mind to pray for, and maybe you text them to just ask that question, how can I provoke them towards love and good deeds? How can I spur my brother and my sister on? Especially when we see somebody just down or struggling, how can I stir them up? How can I help pick them up? Again, it's worth repeating, we're only effective in this to the extent that we're drawing near to God on a regular basis. This is the Holy Spirit at work in us. This is not just us being strong Christians on our own. But this is the picture we get. This call in Hebrews is that we would be people who regularly are drawing near to God and people who are intentional and proactive in provoking, spurring on, stirring up, causing outbursts of love and good deeds. And that happens when we're all engaged and participating. And as I've thought about this week, the beautiful thing is this is really a picture of the gospel. This is what it looks like. So remember, you hear me say the three R's a lot, that if you go back to the beginning, when we were created in God's image, we were created not only to walk with God in relationship, but also to reflect His goodness and reveal His love. We do that through relationships. And when we're doing this, when we're participating well with one another in this way, we're actually imaging the gospel as we do that. The gospel is being shown in the way that we care for each other uniquely. We've been invited to be participants in God's kingdom. As Christ has reconciled us to God, we've also been invited to this beautiful partnership. Peter writes that we can participate in the divine nature. The idea is we're actually partnering with God in His work in the world. And a critical piece to how we do that is in the way that we provoke and stir up and care for one another. So my prayer for you this morning, again, is simply this, that you would consider afresh how God has gifted you, that if you don't have a clear answer on that you would reach out to somebody. Certainly I'd be happy to buy a cup of coffee and chat that through to kind of maybe better understand how God's wired you and is working in you. And then to just be intentional in thinking about how you can regularly serve others with that gift, that giftedness that God's provided for you. So let's pray together. Father, I'm really thankful for this congregation, that I get to be a part of it. And I'm thankful for the many ways that so many here this morning have stirred me up, have spurred me on, have provoked me towards love and good deeds. I thank you for the ways that I can think of that we've done that for one another. And I just pray for an increase. I pray that you would help us to be more intentional, that we would view ourselves as participants, that we would come as provocateurs, ready to encourage one another into action. And I just recognize that even as we talk about these gifts, we're talking about something that comes by way of your Spirit. And so I would just pray that your Spirit would be at work in each of us today, that you would illuminate to us the ways that you've gifted us and called us, and maybe even the specific places where we might serve one another. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.